What do you say to a child when you're about to separate or get a divorce? Books are often a great way to help children understand complex issues such as these. But where do you find them? On today's podcast, I'll be talking with Rachel Brace, an author and psychologist who works with children, teenagers, and their parents and caregivers who are in situations of family conflict, separation, and divorce. Rachel has a keen interest in stepfamilies and in working with and supporting parents, stepparents, and co-parents who are adjusting to shared care arrangements. Rachel's previous work experience includes 9 years with the Australian Family Law Courts as a court-appointed psychologist and family consultant. Since 2014, Rachel has been consulting privately in Sydney, providing single expert services in family law matters, as well as therapeutic support to parents, children, and young people facing transition, loss, growth, and change. Originally from New Zealand, Rachel now lives in Sydney with her family. To learn more about Rachel and her books, go to www.kinshipbooks.com. In this podcast, we're talking about how children perceive separation and divorce, the losses these children experience, when to talk about separation and divorce to your children, and how to help your children deal with their emotions in healthy ways. Hi, I'm Claudette Chenevere, wife, mom, stepmom, and now grandmom. When I first became a stepmother, 30 plus years ago, I had no idea how hard being a stepmom was going to be. When I first became a stepmother 30 plus years ago, I had no idea how hard being a stepmom was going to be. I had no one to turn to, ask for help or advice. I was alone on my journey. And remember, back then, there was no such thing as Facebook, Instagram, or even Google to ask questions like, what's my role as a stepmom? Who comes first, my partner or the kids? Is it okay to not like my stepkids? How do I deal with a challenging ex? I feel so much like an outsider in my own home. What can I do? And although we now have access to a lot of information online, let me say, not all of it is helpful or wise. Welcome to my podcast, where I share my best tips and advice along with moments of wisdom on what you can do to build and create stronger and healthier stepfamilies one step at a time. So let's get started. So hi, Rachel. I'm so excited to be talking with you today.
Hi, Claudia. I'm excited to finally connect as well. It's great.
So, you know, I first connected with you, I think, through social media, and I was really excited because what you do, I want everybody to know about, because there's not enough what you have around in the world. So we're going to start by letting people know what it is you're doing, right?
So, good place to start.
Yes. So, Rachel, let us know what it is that you do.
I guess first and foremost, I'm a psychologist. So I do a lot of therapy here in Sydney, Australia, where I'm based. And I work with children and families and young people who are going through divorce and separation. And also in terms of when their family gets reorganized post-divorce and separation and stepfamilies are formed. And that's kind of my bread and butter. And in the context of that, I've also written some children's books to help the children in those situations in terms of their emotional journey. And I also have a blog for step families and specifically step parents and their partners called Stepping Through.
Awesome. And the reason why we're connected is first and foremost about your children's book, right? I first had some people reaching out to me and saying, you know, Claudette, there's not enough children's book out there. Where can we get them? And
Lo and behold, we got connected. So how did you get started in writing children's books, but specifically about divorce and about stepfamilies?
I guess working with the children, I mean, I'm a bit of a bookworm, so I do love a good book, and I think that books have an amazing ability to help us deal with uncomfortable situations and just to help us understand things and not feel so alone when we're going through difficult times. And when I was working with the families going through divorce and separation and when parents had repartnered, I really wanted to be able to recommend a picture book for parents of primary school age children that they could read with their children to help their kids, I guess, better understand some of the feelings that they were feeling going through some of these major life events and life and family changes. And while there are some really good books out there, there wasn't a book that I was looking for. There wasn't a book that spoke about the feelings and the emotions without necessarily going into the detail of what a separation was or about how a parent repartners. And so after many a Google search over the weekend looking for the right books, I thought, well, I might just try and write one. I had a wealth of information with all the children that I work with. So that's how both the books kind of came to fruition. A bit of a need for a book that was literally just about the feelings and emotions and not being able to find the right one.
And, you know, when I went through your books, I went through your one that's called Max Divorce, Max's Divorce Earthquake. And I love that title.
And it's a great title.
And the other one is Harriet's Expanding Heart. In both of those books, you talk a lot about the perspective of what a child goes through, right? Mm. And the feelings and the emotions. And so I'd love for you to share a little bit more with us how a child or how children view separation.
I guess when separation happens, it's predominantly loss. It's a big, big sense of loss for kids. It's the loss of the family unit as they've known. It's sometimes the loss of the only life they've ever known. And in and amongst that loss, there's secondary losses. They may have to change schools. They may lose a pet who doesn't come with them into the new home. They may lose certain friendships or certain routines or rituals that have always been a part of their world up to that point. And however much parents may want or not want the separation, for children, it's the loss of daily access to one of their parents. And that's really, really hard for kids because inevitably kids love both parents and want to have access to both parents and want to continue with those warm and loving relationships. And to not have that readily accessible to you can be really hard for kids to try and navigate the feelings and the situation that they're in because of that.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why I love your books is because you talk about the children's feelings and all the things you mentioned about the loss a child feels. Mm. And oftentimes these children do not have the words to express themselves. And, you know, these are adults, and even adults have a hard time expressing themselves. They don't know how Absolutely. To put words to what is actually going on and to just wrap their heads around everything that's going on. And so I'd like to ask you, at what stage of the separation would you suggest that a parent or parents read these books to their children?
I think in terms of a divorce and a family breakup, as soon as the changes start happening, you ideally want to be talking or giving children a story of separation before bags are being packed and furniture is being moved out of the house. They need to have some sort of narrative that helps explain what's happening in and around their world and their physical environment inside the home. They also need to start to be given language to describe what might be happening for them internally. kids right from an early age. We're teaching them words. We're pointing to a tree and saying that's a tree. We're teaching them about colors. We're giving them words to talk about the world around them. We also need to teach our children and to give our children words to express their feelings and the physiological experiences that they're having to these events. They're not born knowing them. We learn them as we go, and having a rich emotional vocabulary helps children to better understand themselves, the world around them, and what they're feeling, and to communicate that with their caregivers and their loved ones.
Yeah, it's true, right? Our world is about words and identifying, and feelings and emotions are not visual except for what we see on the face. And sometimes that could be confusing, because for a child, they may be seeing their parents either sad or happy or joyful, sometimes the children may internalize this and say, is this my fault? Is this something that I'm responsible for? And I think you address it in the books a little bit, right? So tell us a little bit about how children tend to internalize what's going on and how we can help them address that it's not their fault.
Yeah, I think, look, children from a developmental perspective can be quite self-referencing in how they interpret what's happening around them and what they can control and what they can't. When something happens that's quite significant in their family, and if they're not given an adequate child-appropriate helpful explanation by their parents, say for a divorce, children are going to start to make up their own explanation for what's happening. And because of their age and their stage of development, they're likely to blame themselves for the family conflict, for mum and dad's fighting. If only I'd put my red gumboots on to go outside when I'd been asked, maybe, you know, dad wouldn't be so upset and have left the house, or I should have eaten my vegetables, or if I'd gone to bed and, you know, been a good kid, maybe this awful thing that's happened to my family wouldn't have happened. So they can feel a lot of blame and guilt. And one of the easiest things that parents can do to help kids manage that is to reassure them that whatever has happened between their parents has got nothing to do with them. They are not to blame, that they were adult problems that mum and dad or mum and mum or dad, whoever is their family makeup, couldn't quite fix, and that there is nothing that they can do to try to repair the marriage or the relationship. And just to reassure them that it is not them or their behavior or their responsibility as a child to manage what's going on between the adults.
Yeah. So I love also Harriet's Extending Heart, because that one's about step parenting and adding people. And what I look at from that book is that it's very real. The emotions, the circumstance, you didn't make it overly flowery or overly positive, but very real. So I'd love for you to share a little bit more, like the idea behind Harriet's Extending Heart.
I think, look, certainly in Australia, and I think it's common around the world, that step families are one of the fastest growing forms of family units that are kind of happening. And that, I guess, because divorce rates and separation rates are high and people are repartnering, it kind of makes sense. But for children, step families are certainly portrayed in a lot of fairy tales and a lot of stories in a very negative light. You know, the wicked stepmom is a myth that gets perpetuated time and time again. And there's a lot of negativity around step families. If you put that aside, there's also a lot of big feelings that happen for kids when their family changes. And when a parent repartners, for a lot of children, even though maybe deep, deep down they know that their parents are never getting back together again, you know, kids still hope for that. They still wish for that. And the arrival of a new person and seeing their parent in love and happy again can really seriously dent that fantasy. And that in itself can have consequences for how a step family forms and how the relationships begin to form within that. I also think step families are one of those units that has a lot more invested people than just the step parent and the parent. And that adds a layer of complexity that children aren't necessarily aware of, but they get caught up in it. And on top of that, it's change, and change happens because sometimes we've lost something, even if we're gaining something down the end. So it brings up a whole lot of mixed feelings for kids, even when it's a really, really good thing, right? So having a book, again, that just addressed a child's emotional journey around the reorganization of their family once a step parent is introduced to something without an ulterior motive. We're just talking about the feelings. They are what they are. And having maybe a storybook that just talked about that without going into, I guess, the step family pros and cons, I thought was something that was missing in terms of children's books that I was able to find at any rate.
Yeah, I absolutely agree that what you share, again, it's from the perspective from children, right? It's really a great book for children. And so what would be the recommended age group for these books?
Look, again, it's going to depend on the child, but it's primary school age. So probably somewhere between 4 or 5 up to 8 or 9. But in saying that, I work with some children who are maybe 9 or 10. And when you're reading it with their little siblings, they still get something out of it. They can still relate to it, even they might be a little bit too old for this type of picture book per se, but the messages can still resonate with them. So, you know, but generally speaking, 4 to about 8, 9 would be the target audience.
Yeah. And, you know, I agree, you know, having an older sibling reading to a younger sibling could just be a great way to have that message, share that message. There is one particular place in the book, and I just want to read Harriet's Expanding Heart. And it's on, you talk about movie night, where Emily sometimes claims the seat next to her dad because she has a stepsister, right?
Half-brother. Cooper.
And so Cooper. So Harriet also gets a sinking feeling in her tummy, her eyes with tears, and she's feeling like the outsider. You know, I want our listeners and audience here to really grasp the feelings that, you know, these children go through. So as a stepmom, I often felt like an outsider, but sometimes we forget that the kids can feel like an outsider, right?
Absolutely. I think within step families, the outsider role, it changes depending on the situation and depending on who's in the house at any given time. So there's an insider-outsider dynamic that's happening in a number of different combinations. So you can have the biological parent is quite often the insider because they have the history with their biological child that a step-parent just doesn't have. And so when, you know, a parent and their biological child are engaging and sharing a family joke from 10 years ago or doing something funny that they've always done in terms of rituals, the step parent doesn't know that stuff. They weren't there when those things kind of evolved. So they're in a bit of an outsider role. But then you have a situation where perhaps, you know, the biological child has been visiting with their other parent or living with their other parent for a period of time, and they come back into the home. Life in that household has continued even in their absence, and there's going to be conversations between, you know, their parent and their step parent, or their parent and their step sibling that they were not a part of and that they don't know about. And in that situation, the child is in an outsider role. The dynamic is shifting and changing and evolving depending on what's happening in the household at any given point in time. And for us adults, when you feel like an outsider, that's really hard to manage and to know what to do with yourself. And yet we have young children who have less life experience and less vocabulary to explain what's going on for them. And they're managing some of those big feelings as well. So it can be a very tricky dynamic for anybody in a step family to manage, and being aware of it is sometimes the first step in being able to do something about it.
You are so right. The fact of being aware is the first place to be in order to reach out, get the support and help that you need in order to make those changes.
Absolutely. And even in a situation, a step parent or a parent might not know what to do, but being able to say to a child, you look like you're feeling a little left out. You're not too sure how to fit back into the family. Even just being able to say that to a child and recognize the child's emotional reality in that moment is actually going to be helpful for that child to move through that feeling and through that difficult, uncomfortable space into what happens next, because it sparks a conversation. Most children, if a parent would say that and they're right, a kid's going to go, yeah, that's right, right? And then a parent follows their lead and says, oh, come on, sweetie, you know, let's have a hug. If a parent's got it wrong, most kids will go, no, that's not it, and give them more information. So either way, it's sparking a conversation that's going to be helpful for all involved in that family situation.
So many great points, Rachel. One of the things that I also want to address that I think is super important, and this is for the parents, right? The last page of both books, you have a list of tips, right, to help a parent or a teacher or whoever is reading. So there's a lot of great information there. And, you know, a lot of times parents are reading this, but they're thinking it's just for the kids. But this is actually for the parents or the step parents, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think, you know, we sometimes don't know where to even start or what to do when we've got relationship or family issues. It can be overwhelming for us, whatever our ages are. So because I guess maybe in my background as a psychologist in the work I do, I wanted just to make sure that parents and carers or whoever is reading these books with children can also get something out of it in terms of meeting the child's needs in that moment. And they're not like way out suggestions. One of the suggestions I think is just regularly reassure your kids that you love them. Sounds obvious, but kids really do need to hear that when they're going through transitions and change. So, you know, I kind of thought, well, why not put some tips in the back that adults can get out of it? And maybe that's going to help the children and the family move forward into whatever comes next.
Yeah, I so agree. I mean, when I saw this, I thought, this is amazing. This is so important, because a lot of times you read books for kids, but then we have a hard time understanding, well, what am I supposed to do with this? So you've actually shared with the parents and the step parents and the adults in these children's lives, you know, whoever is reading, oh, I can do this. Oh, yes. And sometimes it's just a reminder or giving us permission, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just saying, they're not earth shattering and amazing kind of tips. I like to think of them as just common sense, practical stuff that most parents and step parents are probably doing already. And it's just a reminder about what they can do. They do have something that's within their circle of control to be able to improve the situation for their children and therefore for the family unit.
And that is so important, right? It's sometimes those little things, we overlook them because we think, well, it's too simple. It's it can't be that important if it's that simple. And the reality is that sometimes the most simple steps or tips are the most effective.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, parenting is hard, exhausting work, and step parenting is almost even harder and even more exhausting for all of those reasons that we've touched on. But in terms of what children need, it can often be quite simple, and parents and step-parents have the skills within them already to do. They just have to, I guess, act on that almost that gut instinct that says, yeah, telling a child I love them makes perfect sense. And that's what I'm going to do. Or making time for a child to spend with their biological parent without the step parent always being present. You know, a lot of step parents I work with breathe a sigh of relief sometimes where it's like, oh, sweet, I can go and take some time for me. I don't have to be there all the time. And you're like, no, you don't. Like, you know, some of those things are simple and meet the needs of all family members in slightly different ways.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I love the common sense, the simplicity, but the powerfulness of this, right? And it's always remember, because it's simple doesn't mean there's no power behind it. It could be even more powerful. And as you said, it's the acting upon those tips that makes it that much more powerful. It's one thing to know about it. It's a totally different thing to do something about it, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think some of the things, though, like accepting your child's emotions, you know, whatever they may be. And it sounds simple, and it is in the scheme of things. But for a parent to do that, they also have to be prepared to sit with the uncomfortableness that it might raise in them seeing their child sad or seeing their child grieving. That is going to trigger something in the adults around them. And sometimes that's the tricky part, is for a parent to be able to sit with an uncomfortable feeling, seeing their child sad or upset, and to be able to sit with them in that emotional space, because it's not always comfortable as a parent. You know, you don't want to see your children unhappy. You don't want to see them sad, but it's also okay if they do have those feelings. That they will move through that feeling into something else. And that's just part of, I guess, emotional acceptance and emotional coaching.
That is very important for all adults to give permission and to allow your child, the children, your stepkids to feel those emotions. Because if you stuff them, like whether you're stuffing them or quieting them with other things, distractions, or avoiding addressing them, it will create other emotional issues down the road that are going to be a lot bigger, a lot harder to deal with, even as adults. Then you become an adult and you're wondering, why am I having these issues with emotions? If you've never had the permission to address them, that's part of the reason.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether you're given permission to have those feelings or not, you have them. They're there. So if you're not taught how to tolerate that feeling, especially the more uncomfortable negative feelings, so to speak, you know, you're not taught that it's okay. Absolutely. It will come out for children. It will come out in their behavior. And that creates a whole nother set of dramas within families and stepfamilies. And then as an adult, you don't have the skills to manage what life throws at you when you experience those feelings. You know, feelings are unavoidable. We just need to be taught how to manage them and how to tolerate them and how to be with them, even when they're not necessarily the most comfortable of feelings.
And so this is why we as adults need to get your book, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So tell us, where can we get your books?
Well, we're in the process of trying to locate a US distributor, but in the meantime, you can get them from me directly at my website, www.kinshipbooks.com, or a variety of other bookstores online do sell them as well. So if you Google them, you will find them, but certainly Kinship Books is a good place to go in the beginning.
And I will definitely make sure that the link to your where to get the books will be in the show notes. So make sure to check them out. And also, where can we follow you on social media? Because everybody's on social media at some place, right? So where can we reach you?
Okay, well, through Kinship Books, I have an Instagram account and Facebook at Kinship Books, and also through the blog Stepping Through that I write, or that I'm part of, I'm a co-founder of. We have a blog, www.steppingthrough.com.au, And we have an Instagram following and a Facebook page as well. And that's predominantly where we will post blogs and evidence-based information regarding step families to assist step parents and their partners.
Excellent. And I will make sure that that is also in the show notes as well, so that people can go to your blog, read your posts, and get your books. I mean, they're really, I love them. They're great books. They're beautiful. Yeah, they're amazing. Oh,
thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So thank you, Rachel. This was a great conversation. I love this. I think more parents and more step parents need these kind of resources. And so now they have them. You just need to go and get them at your website. And this gives a great opportunity to have conversation with the children that are going through this. I mean, as adults, we know we're feeling bad. And so these two books give words and to the feelings and the emotions children are going through. And then you can have deeper conversation using the tips at the end of your book.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much for having me, Claudette. It's been a lovely opportunity to chat.
Well, thank you. And so see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Well, thanks for listening to this show. I really appreciate it. And I'd love to hear from you. What were some of your takeaways from this episode? What stood out for you? What's one thing you could do today that will make a difference in your life? Improve your relationship with your partner, your stepkids, and who knows, maybe even the ex. And if you'd like to share what you learned, go over to my private Facebook page, Stepmom Supporting Stepmoms. The link will be in the show notes below. And let me know, hey, Claudette, I'd listen to your podcast and I'd love to share my takeaways with you in the group. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And I love sharing my wisdom and knowledge with you. And I look forward to doing it again very soon. So bye for now.